Welcome to your Tuesday night show of Endpoint Sod on Republic Broadcasting Network, Frozen Arctic Edition. RBN is giving away t-shirts. Did you guys know that? Yeah, giving them away. Giving them away for free. Because every time that you purchase free speech and pay $100, every time you spend $100 to keep free speech alive, you get a t-shirt to boot. Just let them know what your size is, and you'll get that t-shirt in the mail. We'll send it out to you. See, you're not buying the t-shirt. You're buying free speech, and free speech ain't free, my people. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, upper left-hand menu, find that donate button, and you know what to do with it. Smash it and send much-needed fundage to RBN to get us through this frozen Arctic climate that we seem to be thrust into. It's like day out of tomorrow tier land out there, my guys. You can mail it in if you want to do that old-fashioned checkbook to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call it into Mike. You can call it in at 512-248-8252. There's probably a better number to do that. There might be a 1-800 number that maybe Mike can text me. And we also have a Chitango set up, a chat room set up by Murr Bailey in plain sight, .chitango.com. And for those donations to call in with your debit or credit card, you can call in 1-800-724-2719. Extension 3, just like the famous commercial says. And this is Tuesday night, and of course you know what Tuesday night is. We have with us, standing 6'3", weighing in at 234.5 pounds of crime-fighting brawn, and 5 pounds and 4 ounces of political science analysis gray matter, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery and Sean Hannity. You better watch your step.
Holy, here we go again, Batman. Holy whiskers. Holy birthday cake. Holy headache. Holy ball and chain. Holy triple feature. Holy slip disc. Holy known, unknown client.
I'm Batman.
Holy political analysis on Tuesday night, Batman. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Hey, thank you. And, yeah, Sean Hannity, well, Tucker should watch out. I hear that, you know, like I said, I mean, Sean Hannity, he carries around, he packs it, and he carries around a big Roscoe. Can you say that outside of Indiana? I'm not sure. And he will blow your head off and urinate on your carcass. And I've seen him do it many, many times. So I'm a little leery of Sean Hannity, but Tucker, no, I'll take Tucker.
But Hannity's no match for the Cape Crusader.
If it was in a cage, if it's a cage fight, and it's MMA rules, no problem.
Yeah. Well, let's blow through some political scientist analysis since I've got you, and maybe for the first 30 minutes, and then if we want to take a few calls last half hour, we can do that. See what's on people's minds. I heard you take calls today, and That was very nice of you. We have the best callers in the world, don't we?
We do. And I didn't get to Murr. I'm sorry. She called kind of late, and the time management just didn't allow for it.
But what about this weather, though? I mean, like, you know the best thing about 3-degree weather?
What is it?
I'll tell you. When the sun pops out at about noon and it's 17 degrees, it feels like spring. it really does. I was cleaning off our back concrete pad at work so nobody would fall, and it was 17 degrees and sunny, and I had to take the Carhartt off. I was shoveling out there and my sweater sleeves rolled up. It felt warm.
You know, I don't know, nothing. I'm dragged out by my dogs all the time, and the other day I thought, oh wow, this is nothing, this is balmy weather. Well, it was balmy weather because it was right around 32, So the air was fine. The air was fine, but there was ice on the ground, but not just ice, wet ice. If it was, you know, 20 degrees, that ice wouldn't have been wet. It would have been passable, but no. So yeah, it's not the lack of heat. It's the humidity.
Oh, how we long for those balmy 32 degree days.
Yeah.
But we're in the Arctic freeze here. It's kind of like that. This morning was like that scene out of the movie Day After Tomorrow, where like the guys from the Arctic came down to New York and it had already frozen over, and then the big freeze was about to hit, like the whatever negative 200 degrees was about to hit, and they were rushing everybody to get down underground in this library. Or no, I think they was up on a building. They were getting into this library, and the freeze was coming, right? And they were rushing and, like, starting a fire in the fireplace and throwing all these books in there and shutting the doors. The American flag was waving in the breeze, and then it just froze, like, solid. That's what it felt like today.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie? You didn't see that movie, did you?
I never heard of that movie.
Yeah. Day After Tomorrow, like 2003, Yoda. All you got to do is YouTube the frozen scene in Day After Tomorrow, instant freeze, and you'll get it. Probably 3/4 of the audience just got that reference.
Okay.
But at any rate, and you know, here in Kentucky, we have a good system of trade. We have a little economy setting up of our own amongst ourselves. I traded some ammo, some ammunition that I had that I didn't need. For a bottle of gin. And then my good friend who works for the road department, he said he would blade my driveway off, and I delivered him some firewood in exchange. That's a pretty good trade-off, both of those, I think.
Yeah, well, ammo's hard to come by nowadays, as a lot of people know. Firewood, I got some fire. I would gladly trade you my firewood for a little bit of ammo.
Yeah. It's hard to come by, but you know, I need some Gilby's London Dry Gin for the martinis for tonight's shows. So it was a good trade off. I had extra, but that's what it's all about, you know, helping each other and coming together. But at any rate, I heard you talking about the environmental stuff today on your show. I thought it was pretty interesting, and yeah.
Well, you know, because I came to this location on a different path than a lot of people, and so I mean I was very much into I subscribed to Ranger Rick magazine back in the 1960s, and I don't know if people remember Ranger Rick, but he was it was the National Wildlife Federation magazine for kids. He was a raccoon, and he lived in that big park, Yellowknife, or what's it called? Yosemite Park out in, not Yosemite, you know, the big one, huh? In like Wyoming.
The big one. I thought
Yellowstone. Yeah, Yellowstone. Not Yellowknife, Yellowstone. And he had animal friends, and one episode they needed some energy because they were cold. I guess it was an Arctic vortex or whatever, and they interviewed a bunch of different energy sources, and the oil guy came down, but he was all leaky, kept spilling everywhere, and the coal guy, he's dirty, lots of dust. There was a chick for geothermal, and she was actually kind of hot, but and I don't think wind was even a thing back then, but there was a solar guy, and it got me interested in all that stuff. And when I was in junior high school, I wound up going to, was it Edmond Scientific? I think that either they had an outlet or I ordered it or something. And I picked up some solar cells, and this is almost 50 years ago. And, you know, the price hasn't really come down that much. The price of everything else electronic, silicon-based, has gone way, way down. At least the nominal price hasn't come down much. I guess adjusted for inflation, it's come down. But it's in the past 10 years, I guess it's coming down. But it didn't for the longest time. But at any rate, I've had this long time interest in it, and I heard, because the whole global, well, it started off, you know, 30 years ago calling it global warming, and now it's, you know, global climate change, which is a better description of what they're trying to get at. But because they're beating us over the head with it, there's kind of what I think is a knee-jerk reaction to anything that's incorporated in it and clinging to anything that they think is bad. And I think we've got to think for ourselves and not just be, what is it, the mirror image or the inverse image of whatever they say is good, then we say is bad, and whatever they say is bad, we say is good. That's still letting them do us our thinking for us.
True that. And by the way, you had Earth, Wind, and Fire, the band. You boomers did back in the 60s.
We sure did.
69, yeah. So there was wind right there. Had the three elements.
That's true, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yeah. They had a song, Celebrate, I think, didn't they? But they had some, Brick House was probably a good one. That was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
They did Brick House?
Didn't they do Brick House? She's a brick house.
Yeah, okay.
I think that was Earth, Wind, and Fire. That wasn't their best. They had some good songs. But at any rate, yeah, so, you know, we can talk about these things if you want, for discussion.
Since I have a Christian perspective, I thought I would give you that perspective on the environmental. And I think you'll find it very, very nuanced. So, you know, for the last probably what, like you said, 30 or 40 years, they've really been pushing this, and it's tied with the liberal agenda. So Christians tend to push back. You have famous pastor John MacArthur in California, who is a Calvinist, and I don't agree with him, but I admire him taking a stand and leaving his church open during the hoax lockdowns. And he faced a lot of litigation for that. But at any rate, he pushes back against the the global warming, and I think a lot of Christians follow that. But it's more of it's not really an overall taking it all into consideration take. It's kind of out of context. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I don't care. You know, we don't care about the environment. It's whatever. But, you know, God gave us the environment. He gave us the earth, and he told us to subdue it and to multiply. So subduing the earth does not mean damaging it and, damaging the resources that we were given and misusing them. It certainly doesn't mean that. And I think that we've way overdone it since the Industrial Revolution. We probably hit our peak of balance between, you know, technology and civilization, probably right before the Industrial Revolution, the mid-1800s, when more people were farmers and lived off the land and were in harmony with the land. Certainly other civilizations hit that balance, I think. I think of China and Japan, you know, for over 1,000 years. I mean, the Chinese had a very advanced civilization, but it was not industrialized, and they were able to have many, many, many kids and sustain that population and still have a relatively advanced civilization far beyond that of most others around them, Japan as well. You know, Japan, according to the History Channel, according to Deadliest Weapons, the katana sword is one of the deadliest weapons of all time, one of the deadliest handheld weapons. And we still don't know how it's made. They, reverse engineered it to get close, but that formula was lost when Japan was westernized. And, you know, the katana sword is a good example of how you can achieve high skill and technology without going full industrial and completely damaging the environment. So I think the Christians should step back and say, you know what, we are definitely hurting our environment and involving ourselves in, you know, Africa and South America and other third world regions trying to save the world. You know, that was not something that God intended. He gave us borders. He gave nations borders. And I think that we have started a thing there that now cannot be undone easily. because the natural order of God's creation was those people that lived in those areas just had a high infant mortality. And they had a low level of civilization, and they weren't as enlightened, I guess, as others. I don't want to sound too cruel there, but that's kind of my take on it, is that, you know, we should have sort of left well enough alone and not expanded, not globalized, and pushed off the Industrial Revolution. What say you to my comments on the Christian response?
I mean, that all sounds reasonable to me. So we've got humanity, and humanity's created civilization. Not all regions at the same time, the same way, or whatever. But and here we are now. We've got 7.5 billion working on 8 billion people. It's really not sustainable. But if you're gonna have enough humans to have a civilization, you're going to have an impact on the environment. So, the idea that we mustn't have any kind of impact on the environment is a pipe dream. So there are going to be, to the extent that we expand enough to maintain any kind of civilization, there are going to be species that are driven to extinction. That's going to happen. To what extent do we have a responsibility towards just other life forms? And maybe the Christian view that you described of subduing the earth doesn't really put a responsibility for us, to think of other life forms per se, but certainly our own progeny, right? And we would want our own progeny to inherit an environment that is sustainable. I mean, is suitable for their own sustenance, for their own civilization, to continue on whatever mission it is that God would have put us here for. So yeah. We do have this at least that much responsibility. Now the thing is, right now, especially we in the West, white Christendom, you could say, we're in this situation where, we're being beaten over the head with global climate change, with a whole bunch of other things, and some people are going along on this bandwagon, which I don't think would achieve the stated goals of stopping this climate change, but B, would basically leave us with no progeny to leave anything to. And, this is, so even if we were to think that the programs that were being sold for, drastically changing our lives in order to stop a climate change, even if we were to believe that would work in terms of stopping climate change, What's the point of it if we don't have any progeny? And, we are being, our civilization's being destroyed, our people are being destroyed. And so, really, I mean, if, okay, I hear the music coming. I'll finish
what's
up.
What's the point, indeed? Covered on the other side.
Which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, How would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Back to the show. Patrick and Jeremy, dynamic duo, talking about environmental stuff. Really cool. Finish your point, Patrick, before the break.
Just to sum it up, if let's just say the global climate change is the Titanic and it's sinking and you're on it, and you'd very much like to fix the breach in the hull. But then you've got these crazy people that are attacking you with 2x4s. What are you going to do? Are you going to try to fend them off and not worry about the breach in the hull? And I think you would. That's what I would do. And I think, you know, to the extent that the breach in the hull might not even be repairable anyway. You might be on a fool's errand in the first place. But that's basically the way I see it, that it's not that I think there are no that there's nothing to this. I don't dismiss the whole global climate change thing, but if nothing else, right now we've got more immediate fish to fry.
Well, yeah, and you know, global elites, capitalists, and all the such have taken advantage of the Industrial Revolution and really made a lot of money off of the advancements. And now we're in this situation where we depend on this stuff, and then you get a situation like in Texas, what John was talking about earlier today on National Intel, was that. You know, Texas is hurting because a lot of the area was, I think, over 4 million was without electricity because of these new, the windmills, the wind
things.
Yeah,
well, that's what I've been pushing back at, because this is Tucker's big talking point. And, you know, two-thirds, at least two-thirds of the lost generation is in gas and coal plants. And you've got the gas pipelines going to the gas plants because of the cold. Something's frozen up, and they're not the gas isn't getting there. So, but Tucker is just going off on the and the thing is the wind turbines. I mean, this might be very unseasonable weather for Texas, but it's not unseasonable for you know North Dakota or Iowa or other places in the Great Plains that have a huge amount of wind capacity. And so this is more Texas not being prepared for this kind of winter weather the way they weren't prepared in 2011, the way they weren't prepared in 1989, and you had the same types of results. And Tucker's just scapegoating the wind turbines. And of course, you know, what's he saying about wind turbines? Oh, they're ugly. If you don't have anything more to say than they're ugly, then you don't have anything to say in the first place.
Well, I think that we can both agree that the elites, the Jewish-dominated ruling elites in this global agenda that we're in, they're using the climate change and the environmental issues to clamp down on the population.
They absolutely are.
Both agree on that. And there is a solution to it, and they're not utilizing the solution. They're just using it as a tool, as a means of manipulating the population. So,
well, yeah. And is that the first? It's not the first time they've done it. It's not the last time they're going to do it. You look at the whole coronavirus thing, and yep. Look what they're doing with that. They take whatever,
and they're related, closely related, right? I mean, the whole. I mean, coronavirus. Oh, the lockdowns. We stopped carbon emissions by what 8% or something like that. And they're saying, well, you know, that's telling me, well, this whole corona lockdown thing is tied to the environmental movement as a means of hurting the population in the direction that they want to go, which is the New World Order, the destruction of the American Republic, and the transfer of wealth to the upper elites. I mean, that's exactly what they're using it for. So I think that's why people really get mad and push back on it. And sometimes they take positions that aren't exactly logical.
And they're using this, but it's not as if you know you look at the history of the Democratic Party or the left or whatever entity you want to look at that's necessarily always the bastion of environmentalism. I mean, Herr Hitler was something of an environmentalist, and I don't think he was anybody's lefty.
No, you're absolutely right. Cared about animals and the like. I heard he was vegetarian, but I can't.
I've heard that too, yeah.
At the break, let's cover some headlines on the other side of the break and how I'm a vegetarian.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Pinpoint Saw with the dynamic duo Polar Vortex Edition. You know, I'm pretty much a libertarian now. Heck with it. I mean, it depends on who's in the government, who's in power. And this administration, I'm a libertarian. No government. You know, and Biden's doing executive orders about gun control now. I referenced the Stormer article, and then we're going to take some calls. Jen Psaki says that taking people's guns is a personal priority for Joe Biden. And everyone knows, everyone's heard the headlines. But, you know, you got states pushing back, like we were talking about. States doing nullifications and whatnot. But Missouri is basically saying that they're not going to obey any executive orders that go against the Second Amendment. And good for them. And I'm sure many more states will follow along with that. Do you got a quick comment on that, and then we'll go to calls?
Yeah, I do think that this is a form of nullification when states, you know, whether we're talking about Ron DeSantis, whether we're talking about, you know, Ron DeSantis defying the dictates on coronavirus lockdowns and restrictions, yep, travel restrictions, or whether it's the Missouri legislature, declaring itself a sanctuary state for the Second Amendment or whatever language they're using. This is nullification. They're declaring their laws supreme over federal laws, and it doesn't necessarily lead to secession, but if you're going to secession, that's pretty much the halfway point.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, and this is exactly what we were talking about. They think they have this new world order wrapped up and America is destroyed, but not quite so fast, guys. There's a lot of states, entire states, that are going to push back on this. And so with that, we got calls piled up in this 30 minutes. We're going to have to blow through them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 calls in 30 minutes. So let's go with it. True Bachelor from Arkansas. True Bachelor, give us your thoughts and keep in mind we got some other callers.
Yeah, I got you, Abe and Jeremy. It got down to 1 below 0 last night, and we're expecting 6 to 10 inches of snow. I've got 8 inches on the ground right now. And, you know, I live in Arkansas, and that doesn't happen very much. Fayetteville got down to 20 below 0. So, that's pipe bursting weather, partner.
My question is, how is Noel the cat? Is the cat
she has snuggled in and she's in a coma almost. she's in a coma. She's up here on the bed and she is sleeping. I call her Snowel now, because we've got the snow on the ground. we're doing okay, hanging in there, and you know, thank God we hadn't lost power. They're trying to roll these blackouts and stuff, you know, rolling power blackouts. COVID-19 is caused by the snow, see, and the freezing temperatures. Of course.
Yes.
But we're doing great, and we're praying for it, brother. And as a southerner to another, God bless you. And, we just wish the best. It's we're going to hang in there, and you may give out, but don't give in.
Exactly. Well, thank you for your call, True Bachelor. And Patrick, you're a honorary Southerner. We welcome you.
I'm more than an honorary Southerner.
Okay. Over there in Burbank, I know it's
below the Mason-Dixon line.
All right, but I know you got some Southern in you. All right, well, thanks for your call, True Bachelor. You have a great night. Take care of Noel, Snowell. And we got Vinny from Indiana. Vinny, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, I listened to you today, Patrick, and I thought you're on target. One of the things I think which is really a problem with environmentalism is we use this term alternative energy. And I think what we really want to do is think about complementary energy. And the example that I would use is in 1912, the Nobel Prize went to a French chemist named Sabatier. I think it's S-A-B-A-T-I-E-R. He invented a process for using electricity to convert carbon dioxide into natural gas. And this is something that NASA is working on, because if they're ever going to have colonies on the moon, instead of shipping water and oxygen into space, we could just take the waste carbon dioxide and convert it back into water and oxygen. And we can make our own rocket fuel in space. And with this, if you're on Earth, this would allow you to take waste carbon dioxide and use wind energy in like a state like Indiana. When our winds, we have huge wind farms in Northwest Indiana. But in March, April, and May, we don't have a lot of need for residential energy, electricity, but we could convert it into natural gas, and then that would give us baseline energy for industry. And we built the huge coal plant at Edwardsport, Indiana, which allowed you to gasify the coal, convert it into natural gas. Again, we could capture the carbon dioxide. Also, for storage for natural gas and carbon dioxide, Indiana, Ohio, there used to be Standard Oil of Ohio and Indiana. But when they first discovered oil in Indiana, Ohio, they didn't know what to do with the natural gas, so they just burned the natural gas into the air. They just set it on fire. And now we've got oil in the ground, but no way to get it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could use the carbon dioxide or natural gas to repressurize the wells.
So today I mentioned that you have to have the balance in the electric grid between supply and demand, and how difficult it is to store electricity. Now, electricity is difficult to store, but other forms of energy aren't necessarily difficult to store. And if you were to separate the hydrogen and the oxygen in H2O, well, you have to add energy to that, right? That's not something where you're going to derive energy from. But if you, like with wind, and, you know, the wind, you can't always turn it on when you want, but at least you can turn it off when you want, and that's actually pretty important. But when they don't need that much electricity, the wind gets turned off because it's easy to turn off, and you can't turn off nuclear. But when you don't need the electricity going into the grid, if you can use that electricity not to put into the grid, but to do something, some other process, you know, like, separating the hydrogen or something else, and then you have the energy is in a chemical form that can be stored and then used when you want to, That would be an important technology. And, you know, there are things like that. But, yeah, that's there's a lot that can be done even with existing technology, even 100-year-old technology that's not being done. And people, you know, people need to think about it. There's a lot that needs to be done, that can be done, that's not getting done.
Yeah, I'll just say one last thing. Instead of having an Albert Speer or a Admiral Rickover running the Department of Energy, we tend to have political appointees who are really in bed with just one particular industry, and the public doesn't understand it. So, like, oh, I'm pro-oil, so I have to be against wind, or I'm pro-wind, so I have to be against oil. It's not like that. And if we just had somebody who was more of a visionary, could explain this to the public, I'm not worried about global warming. I think it's a fixable problem. So, but it's hard convincing people of that. I think it's a possible issue, but I don't think it's a fatal problem. It's a fixable problem.
I have a question. Fixable or adaptable?
Adaptable. I mean, I think there's things that, you know, you can, if you can convert, use excess electricity that you would be, instead of feathering wind turbines in April when you don't need the electricity, you can convert waste carbon dioxide into natural gas. Once you got a natural gas, you can use it for dozens of industrial processes. Repressurizing oil wells to shipping anywhere across the country. We'd ship to China if we had to. This is just not a problem. But it's very hard to explain that to people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
thanks for taking my call. I'm going to send Jeremy some information. He talked about cancer on Friday, and I wanted to send him some stuff. So look for the Patrick and Jeremy show at Yahoo. I'm going to send you some stuff. So maybe if he talks about it again on Friday, well, I have something to bring up.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Vinny. I'll be looking for that. And Mark from Texas. Mark, my friend, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Oh, doing the dynamic duo thing on a Tuesday night. And I've got the wood stove stoked up and blazing.
Well, dude, I miss my wood stove and Cloud Croft, New Mexico, one of my favorite places. Dude, we got a major disaster here in Dallas. We're okay. We've had our power on since 4. But, Dallas, we're not prepared for this. And, last night it was really, it was dicey. I wasn't worried about me, but mom and dad, and they're in their 80s. And, it reminded me of North Korea. We had power for like an hour, and then it would go off for 5 or 6 hours. And, we're right in the middle of Dallas, dude. This is a international city. I don't know. I'll tell you that it was, this is a major political, or it's a disaster. It got down. I stayed up till about 4, just watching the fire and watching the pipes, and all mom and dad could do was go to sleep. I mean, the TV wasn't on, the radio wasn't on, computer, nothing. And all you can really do is sleep, get under the covers when it's, people here in the city just aren't prepared for it. There's people that have been without power for 2 days. My sister still doesn't have her power on. She had to go to my other sister's. So we got a major disaster here, bro. And this is your on-the-ground reporter. We're all good. We're good. We're, we know how to take care of ourselves, but it's dicey. And a lot of people don't know how to do it around here. Mm.
That's interesting. I got a question now, and based on your comments, Mark, and I'll direct this to Patrick. So in the same way that they saw the coronavirus coming last year and they figured out ways to manipulate the public and cause, you know, institute federal, you know, federal disaster plans and whatnot, could they be anticipating these climate shifts and looking for ways to manipulate that? You know, with the blackouts and whatnot. Do you know where I'm going, Patrick? Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Is something we could be seeing in the future?
Well, I mean, with if you look at the coronavirus as something that happened and they were ready to take advantage of it, as opposed to something that they created, then there would certainly be a parallel, because one thing you can be guaranteed of, global climate change or no global climate change, there are going to be extreme weather events that come along every now and then. And what they certainly do is they all, you know, any extreme weather event, you can't pin that on climate change or anything else, because we've always had that. You would think that you would get more of these events with the global climate change, but whatever, they do seem to have ready narratives to pin on things, and, you know, don't let a perfectly good crisis go to waste.
And with the entire media on their side, they could just say anything and the public would believe it. We found that out last year. So they could anticipate with, you know, advanced meteorology and whatnot, they could anticipate these things coming and just say, oh, well, this is climate change and we got to lock you down and we got to take more of your rights and we got to black out and all of this stuff. That's where I was going with it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you got a parting comment, Mark, and we got to move on to other callers.
Yeah, you know, first, I believe we're going through a cooling phase. And I believe that's from the scientists that I follow. We're going into, you know, everything's going to be, it's better to be moving south from what I hear. But, you know, I'm just telling you, there's going to be a lot of people die here in Dallas, Fort Worth. And we need all the RBN prayers for people in Texas that are without power, and they're just not equipped. You know, cities are not a great place to be, and we've all talked about that, and we know that, but we need all our prayers, if we could, to the state of Texas. Thank you.
Okay. Jeremy, are we still here?
We got it. I think we're going to skip the break, Mike said, and we're going to go with more callers. Because we got three more. William from Montana. William, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Jeremy. Well, a couple of days ago when I went out to get some hospital work done, and it was threatening when we left. It was supposed to be a minus 17. But it really warmed up to a minus 13. And then today, I haven't been out for a while, and today it was like 27. And, man, I mean, when it gets 27 here in Montana this time of the year, it's time to take the cover off the pool, you know, and, you know, get out the Kool-Aid and everything. And so anyway, what happened is I was bundled up. I could hardly move. I had so many clothes on, sitting in the car, and we were driving down the road, and there's this great bumper sticker that I saw to show that Montana people are not all gun-toting, you know, gun nuts and stuff. There was a guy with a bumper sticker, and it said, "Earth first! Earth first! We'll log the rest of the planets later." That was very funny. So anyway, I got a chuckle out of that. But it was really good when we went over to the post office, and all the post office people were just had masks on and everything. And then we went to a hardware store. Nobody was wearing them because the governor declared that, get those damn masks off and get back to work. And another thing he declared was, hey, you think you're going to use gun control to take our guns away? Now here in Montana, it's legal now to carry concealed. Like women could always carry concealed in their purses, but men couldn't unless they were licensed. Now, you don't need a license to carry concealed. And so, I mean, things are really looking up here, but it was so great. I got a dashboard with just tons of masks underneath the dashboard, and I was just ready to throw them out. You don't even need them. He said never was legal. It's not legal now. So get those damn masks off and get back to work. So I thought I'd, you know, sort of give some good news there, but, I just thought that I got to get me one of those bumper stickers. Earth first. We'll log the rest of the planet later.
That's great news. That's great news about the, Montana and further examples of what Patrick and I were talking about just states nullifying these unconstitutional executive orders. Appreciate it, William.
Take it easy. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Love you too, brother. And let's see, we have Ken from New York. Ken, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, I got one for each of you. Patrick, wasn't the original con about the green scene and global warming based on contributing to a Rothschild bank? It was supposed to have a green bank, and you were going to contribute to it, and they were going to do good things with it?
I'm not familiar with what you're talking about. What time era was that?
Oh, it would be quite a while ago, maybe 25 years ago I heard this. They're part of the environmental movement. They were trying to set up a bank.
A green bank? Yeah, it vaguely sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing is the previous host, Don Campbell, made an interesting association with something. He was talking about chemtrailing, which is really a blight here on Long Island. And he said that the... I wasn't aware of this. I know the symbol for aluminum is Al, but the other main component is barium, and it's Ba, B-A-A-L.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything to say to that.
I'm not up on my chemistry. But I know Campbell. Yeah, go ahead.
The reference is to Ball.
Well, good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Well, thanks for your call. And last call of the night, you're going to finish up the show. Bruce from Texas, very important job to finish up the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I missed most of the call. I had to hook up extension cord from a neighbor. Our lights just went out again. Stay the things, man. That's how it is. I want to see if Patrick Saturday, if he'll do a cage match with Alex Jones on the Chi-Coms, man. I think he'd mop the floor with him.
The Chi-Coms?
The Chi-Coms.
Me and Alex Jones. I don't know Alex Jones.
You don't know him. Not good for you.
Unfortunately, Frank from North Carolina is not around anymore to set something like that up.
Yeah, true. One of the last calls he made, he complimented my call, so I've always remembered that. He was quite a person.
Yeah.
I sure do miss him. I was noticing the Chinese meme is coming from all these Ziocon outlets. And on the Chans, on the 4chan, comes up, a lot of them come from Canada. It's definitely a deflection operation, you know, to keep the... you know, the audience pointed in the wrong direction. That's my take on it.
Yeah, it's interesting you say China. I mean Canada. I'm not sure exactly what that would be, but the Canada, which has 1/10 of our population, basically, received a huge number of Hong Kong people back in the 1990s, which really transformed Canada. And there may be some latent anti-Chinese sentiment there because of that.
Right, just like Florida with the Cubans that came from, that led Castro's revolution. Yeah, I got it. And I just want to tell you, when's Boomer Rock? Is that tomorrow?
Boomer Vision. I don't know the next Boomer Vision when that's going to be. Tomorrow is going to be the Jeremy and Patrick show, so we might have a Boomer Vision later in the week.
Okay.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
One thing about the power outages, the grid, all this immigration, every immigrant that comes here puts a bigger footprint on the electric grid, and they never mention that.
That's for sure.
Yep. Okay, guys, thank you very much for taking my call.
Hey, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, my friend. And we're at the end of the show. This talk of the ICOMs makes me ask, how did you celebrate the Chinese New Year, Patrick?
I didn't. I should have, I guess. It's kind of depressing for me sometimes, just like any other New Year. I don't know.
I was watching the fifth season of The Incredible Hulk to remind me of my childhood. And, you know, there was this episode on there, you know, The East Winds, where David Banner got involved with the Chinese Mafia in Chinatown, and they had hidden some gold in his apartment. And so they sent him a mail order bride, and she was part of the mafia to distract him while they got the gold out of his apartment. But that's how I celebrated, and then I had some rice stir fry.
Well, there you go.
And we'll be back tomorrow on the Patrick and Jeremy show that we're going to record tonight here on Republic Broadcasting Network. You should stay classy, RBN.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.